Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, I have another great guest on. His name is David Baker. And before I bring him on totally, I want to apologize just in case I start a coughing thing, because I have a pretty bad cold, so I'm going to apologize first. But I'm going to bring David on. So, David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nancy. And I want to apologize if should I cough, too, because I just got over a virus myself.
Yeah, it's going around, and it's a real pain in the neck, let me tell you. Now, David, we're going to talk a lot about you. So let's have you tell the listeners a little bit about who David Baker is and what you do. And then we're going to talk about your book. We're going to talk about kind of your life's journey here, because everybody has a little different journey when you talk about psychic mediums, psychics in general. So go ahead, David. Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Okay. Well, I'll have to be honest. Right now, I'm almost a 15-year veteran of being a deputy sheriff in California, soon to retire to do mediumship full-time because I feel that's my calling. I've always had the gift as long as I've known, but I've never really knew exactly what it meant until probably about 15 years ago when I discovered that I was a medium and more what it meant once I started reading about it. So I'm basically born with the software, so to speak, of mediumship. I can make connection to loved ones in the spirit world and ghosts, angels, and even crossover love pets. And I'm also a psychic. All mediums are psychic, so of course I can have the ability of cognition and precognition. I could see into somebody's energy and tell them a little bit about their past, the present, or the future. And basically that's what I do when I give somebody a reading. I tune in to that person merely by, I just focus in, that's how I do it. I just focus in, and the psychic energy or the spirit that may come to give a message, whether it be a love or, you know, something to help the person or forgiveness, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. That's what I do. And the only thing I don't do is, as far as the mediumship goes, I say what they say. So I tell people, watch out, because spirit is going to say what they need to say. As far as psychic readings, I generally don't like to predict death or divorce or relationship breakup. I don't like to do medical readings. I don't like to do psychic detective work because I've been around so much negative stuff being a deputy sheriff all these years. Mm-hmm. And lastly, I don't like to spy on others. And what I mean by that is recently I had somebody at work said that somebody sent her a nasty letter and she's trying to figure out who it was. And she wanted me to do psychometry on it by touching letters to see who it was. And I so that I refuse to do that because when I use these tools here, they're given to me to help others in a positive way and not that type of a way. So I hope everybody understands.
Mm-hmm. And it's good, actually, David. The one thing, you know, growing up, we're going to talk about you growing up, David, because everybody has a different kind of instance or whatever the case may be that brings them to see things. Like when you were growing up, did you see auras then, you know, as you were growing up, what was going on with you?
Yes, I did. I really never did what you would say, focus in on the colors per se, but I did see energy around people and things all the time. And I would ask other people, do you see that around this person or whatever? And they said no. And I thought there was something wrong with my eyes, to tell you the truth. And that started in school, in grammar school.
Mm-hmm. When you were growing up and you were seeing the things and others were not, did you mention it to your parents at all?
I don't recall if I mentioned it to my parents, but I remember mentioning it to my siblings for sure.
And they
all claimed later on that they seemed to remember having some occurrences themselves, but they kind of just took in stride. The only problem I had was when I mentioned to people in school, you know, and they thought I was kidding, but after I mentioned it a few times, I had to stop because they thought that I was a kook. So I kind of kept it to myself from then on.
It's kind of funny. You see, I was very much protected by my angels when I was growing up. They really wouldn't let me go tell people what I knew or what I saw. And I didn't understand that. You know, it's why I always ask other people, because most people really didn't have, we'll call it the luxury that I did, where I was very much protected. You know, most of the people I talk to have gone through some, you know, pretty interesting things, but at the same time, it's like, you know, they've also been told that you're weird or you're crazy or you're strange, or parents will tell you don't talk about that because people won't understand. So that's why I asked that question about why you were growing up.
Oh, yeah, I was a blabbermouth, but I learned fast not to be about that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also had some form of a vision that actually changed your life and saved your life. What was that?
Oh, that was probably when I was younger, after I got out of the military. When I was, that particular vision, if that's the one you're talking about, I had one when I was younger, stuck on a cliff, but I think you're talking about one later on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had just got out of the military and had my family and everything, and one thing led to another, and my whole world, I was cocky then because I was Sergeant Marine Corps, and I was in charge of some very responsible things. When I got out, I still had that high, cocky attitude that I can do what I want, get what I want, no problem. One thing led to another. I ended up losing my family and being homeless and living in a park without anything and eating out of garbage cans and eventually stealing food. And I got to the point to where I broke down one day, started to cry, and I was ready. There was I think it could have been a freeway overpass. I was ready to take a dive off of when I got a strong, very strong, powerful, I guess it was in the evening time, but still bright enough for me to see almost with my naked eye, a bunch of voices yelling at me. And I paid attention to the voices, and I guess they led me through a grove of trees to somewhere I've never been to, and there's a chapel or something on the other side, and I went in there and thought I should start praying, and next thing you know, somebody thought unusual to see me in there, and then from there, I got help. My life turned around from then on, never looked back. But if it wasn't for those voices yelling at me, stopping me from doing anything crazy, I probably wouldn't be talking to you right now.
Mm-hmm. They do have a way of getting your attention, don't they?
They sure did.
Which is real important. I'm glad they got your attention. You know, a lot of people, David, tend to hear voices. And again, they think that they're weird or they're strange or they're crazy. So they really don't talk about it a lot. They really don't say too much about it. And they kind of lock it inside of them. Is there anything that you can suggest to the listeners of somehow starting to trust those voices or those feelings that they have to keep them, you know, in the right direction?
Yeah, I'd definitely say test it, because I've always been a skeptic, because I was taught differently. I knew one thing, but I was taught another. Especially, you know, for the time that I was into religion and, you know, the religious dogma that you learn and so forth is not exactly, they don't disclose everything for a purpose and other things. So I was told certain things and I decided not to. There's actually a point where I really didn't believe in ghosts, spirits, life. I didn't believe in any of that, but the stuff never went away. So I decided out of curiosity just to test it. I would test it to be sure that I'm not going nuts. So over and over again, I would test it. Well, if that information is true, then let's see the proof. And, you know, am I going to get that job tomorrow, or is this going to happen, or whatever? And I start getting these signs of confirmation. And I said, it's just a coincidence. But I kept on. And after a while, I said, you know, my God, there's something here. Because I forget what it was. Something major was going to happen. So I asked them to let me know if it's going to happen or not. And I got some signs in my head in a dream, and I think I heard something on the radio, and I put those together after a while. I said, I keep hearing the same thing, and it says yes, and that major thing happened. From then on, I trusted the voices, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't always test them from time to time. But hearing, seeing, and knowing all this stuff, you know, I get used to it, and I don't always have all these experiences. I tend to ignore them when I feel I don't need them, and I've just gotten used to it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, listen to the show and they go, well, how can these people have this and I don't? But in true reality, just about everybody has their own psychic ability, their own gut feeling. Is that not true?
Yeah, we all are that on the other side. And on this side, we have it too. You know, it's in the spirit, but because we're in a dense body, we're compacted. The spirit is a larger self in a small body, and when the spirit is in this body, is kind of distorted. It makes it, you know, difficult for most people to access it, so to speak. We all have it, and it's either dormant or maybe it's not exercised or trusted or used enough in all of us. We all have it to different degrees. Not everybody has it like everybody else. Like, for example, I believe that in addition to what I have, I was born with the extra software to do this, just like somebody would be a brain surgeon that was born with the software to do that. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we all have it, and we all can learn to access it better.
If people have a hard time trusting it and testing it, like you said, tends to work for most people, which I find that to be true, too, because I question it. Believe me, it's like, yeah, show me, okay? You know, one of those attitudes is like, yeah, if that's what you're telling me, then, you know, let's see it. Let's have the proof here, because there's some part of this that's making me think I'm really weird or strange, so show it to me. You know, so that is important that people do that. Is there a possibility, David, that people can get messages from not such a good source?
Definitely is a possibility. That's why it's always good to test. For example, when I'm doing a reading on somebody, I try to figure out for them. I try to ask them to prove who they are, like, give me a name, or, you know, what relationship are you to the individual? How did you cross over? Give me some type of message to validate that you're a so-and-so. And also the information, if it's not of love, compassion, then I know that, you know, if I'm hearing some things that I don't feel comfortable with, then I know that I'm not making the right connection.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, it's real important that people understand that if they don't feel good about it, then chances are it's not such in a good place, right?
That's correct.
Now, you also wrote a book. Did you write just The Spirit Garden, or do you have other books, David?
Oh, it's on the computer, but The Spirit Garden is my first book.
Okay, and you call it The Spirit Garden. Where did you come up with that name?
When I did a lot of meditations, I would go to a garden, and I would construct a beautiful garden that I would be into. When I went to deep meditation, my spirit would go to this beautiful garden. And after a while, I'd start meeting spirit guides and crossed over loved ones there. So I just called it, it was my spirit garden. I decided to name the book that because it really meant something to me.
Well, that's kind of neat. And I'm sure the spirits all like that because you named it after them.
I think that the name just kept popping into my head, so I used it.
Mm-hmm. If somebody wanted to get your book, David, where could they get it?
Pretty much any bookseller, Amazon.com, for example. On my website, it's advertised, and there's a direct link there.
Would you like to give out your website?
Yes, it's www.davidbakerspiritmedium.com.
Okay, so they can get it there if they want it, and then they can do it through Amazon.com. The book that you wrote, The Spirit Garden, what prompted you to write the book, David?
My wife and myself and the spirits and probably one of my teaching mentors, Valerie Camozzi, a combination of all of it. And they said, I need to get the word out and do a book. My wife really pushed me and helped me with the book and some of the editing, and just to keep me on it until I got it published.
Were you kind of lackadaisy in trying to get it done? Did you kind of, like, not want to do it?
Actually, I really wanted to do it. Then there was a delay, and we went on a trip. And one thing after another, it was off for a couple months. My wife got me back in the hot seat and on it again, and I stayed on it until it was done. If you want to put the time together, I suppose it took me about 2.5 or 3 months to do the whole book.
That's not too bad. Mine was channeled through me like yours is apparently channeled through you, too. The other thing, David, that I'd like you to explain to people is when you're doing, you know, your contact with the spirit guides or the angels or deceased loved ones, are you in a meditated state at that time, or are you just calling to them? How does it work for you?
All I do is like, here's an example. There's a couple of different ways. Somebody at work read my book that was a skeptic, and they grabbed me real fast and pulled me around the corner. Nobody was looking. Quick, who's behind me? You know, blah, blah, blah. So I say, well, this person was Oriental, and I said, your father, was he bald and have a Fu Manchu type, you know, mustache? He said, yes. And some other information, he said, yes. And I gave him some messages, and from then on, he was totally happy. It was instantaneous. Pretty much that's how I can do it when I start focusing in on it. And there's other times when my mind is, you know, sitting around with a group of friends just talking. And then with my, it would seem like with my eyes, I could see somebody folding toward the group, and I can see them in color, I can see the person, but perhaps I'm not seeing them, I'm not really sure. It's like a camera, you know, you take a picture and then something shows up that you don't see. It's either that or my third eye or a combination of both. They would just show up, and then I'll start telling the person who this person is and what they're telling me. It can happen different ways. It can just, they can come into my space, which doesn't happen too often, but mainly, just like in psychic readings, when I start talking to somebody, connect with their energy, and they can focus to see if there's anybody around them. And that's how it happens.
Mm-hmm. Again, as a child, the first time that you got a vision or saw auras or saw a ghost, maybe, did you see them as a child, ghosts and things?
Yes. I can remember as far back as 3 when my mother still put me in a crib. And after she put me in there, I remember, for instance, an afternoon nap, and she left. It was quiet. Then some of my friends would come out of the closet and have a wonderful conversation with them, and then they'd tell me they have to go because I have to go to sleep, and I didn't like that, but they disappeared. I had no choice but to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. So it didn't scare you when it first started happening?
No. They made it, like, you know, a lot of fun and everything, so I thought it was totally normal.
Mm-hmm. Most people do until they start talking about it. Have you ever been afraid of something that's come through?
Never. I've never met anything negative or dark. And to tell you the truth, I don't believe, you could say, in demons or anything really evil like that. But I do believe in people here that may have been, you know, a real bad human being, and we see the news, we know what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. that have crossed over it, and that has taken their personality with them. And I may have run into a few of those, but not in a reading ever. Always in a, like a haunted location or something like that. But in the reading, I've always set my intentions for the highest, and that's all I ever get. I've never got anything, you know, negative from many of my readings, fortunately.
Which is good. So if people are starting to do this and they really have not been trained, then one of the biggest suggestions that you would be given out to them is to always set their intentions at the highest that they could.
That's right. And even those people that have a difficulty and do that and want to use a tool like, you know, tarot cards or a crystal ball or a Ouija board or any of that stuff, I recommend not to use any of those tools unless you have proper intentions, training, protection, all that stuff, before you step into the whichever way you choose to do it at all times. And that's the best way to do it.
Now, have you gone into, like, haunted places and had them, like, people ask you to try to clear them out for them?
They really haven't asked me yet, except for this one person had a haunted boat, but I never did get to follow up on that. But I went to this mansion in Northern California, and it was on an area where there was Miwok Indians, and it was one of the major areas. Their home is in a beautiful place, a piece of land used by the Indians. And they said there's a lot of activity going there, and I did get what do you call a residual haunting. In other words, there was not an active communication with the Indians that I saw there. There were imprints from the past. Their house was right in the middle of the Indian path.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that, but in the house, there were a couple of ghostly children that were there, and a ghost adult of one of the owners, and also a female ghost that was there from probably the 1800s, because the house had been remodeled. And I went to one area, and there was a female in there. She was cooking, but it was not a master bedroom. I could actually see her doing it, smell the food, smell fajitas being cooked. Mm-hmm. I went to the boys' room where this activity where the rocking chair rocks, and the mother placed angels all around. Excuse me. None of the activity there was negative, but I actually saw and talked to the ghost. This ghost was quite friendly, and I was there with another medium investigating and taking pictures and so forth. And this ghost jumped on my shoulders, believe it or not, and I could feel it, and my hair was going crazy, and she was laughing because she could see my hair going like static electricity, and I could actually feel that. But I haven't run into any of the homes with anything negative, although I have encountered negative entities other places, but not in any homes thus yet. And I haven't been to many, many like other people have.
When you talk about the Ouija boards, people who use those, unless they really know what they're doing, David, do you think that they can bring in other energies that they really don't want?
Yes, that's true. You know, a Ouija board may be sold as a toy, but it's not really a toy. It's actually a tool that can open a door to the spirit world. And if a person plays with it and just says, well, whoever's out there, come on in, we want to talk to you. It's just like you might as well open up the front door to your home and just leave it open and see who comes in. It's the same darn thing. So you have to take precautions when you do that. You have to, I'd recommend, ask for somebody specific or somebody from the, you know, from the light to come through and, you know, forbid anybody from the darkness to come through. Because once you do that, and if you don't give any entity, it's a universal law that if you don't give an entity permission to come to you, that happened to me here not too long ago when I had a problem with a ghost from somebody else. You tell them, are you from the light? If they say no, I did not give you permission to come here. You must leave now, and they must leave.
Mm-hmm. Because it's real important, and I agree with you, because they do sell it as a toy. And to me, it's a very dangerous toy to be selling. You know, especially the parents buy it for, like, young girls, and they are more likely to bring in something without knowing that they're bringing it in. And then it's real hard to get rid of that, isn't it?
It is, and I'll give you a brief example here. I had another medium over here as a guest for a while, and I have a room in the back of my house. It's called the injury room or my reading room. Nothing else is done in there except for that. And this person contacted me because he said he was playing with the Ouija board late at night, and the spirits told him to smoke marijuana because it was good for him, and the spirit claimed he was an Indian and he was helping him, and this young man was probably about 20 or something like that. Anyway, I didn't want to deal with that because I don't deal with that kind of stuff. Fortunately, I have a link on my website for a spirit releasement person and a demonologist now as a result of that. But the other medium, for some reason, because I guess he was looking in the area for any local mediums, he ended up coming over here, getting a reading in my reading room with her. She ended up calling me. I ended up going back there. And this guy, I've never seen a reading before, but he was starting to get out of hand. And he said he wanted these spirits detached from him right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't be, you know, he wanted us to do something right now. He's starting to get really irritated. And so I had to, you know, kind of restrain him a little bit and talk to him. And then his face started getting red and his eyes. I'd never seen anything like it before. Just like you see on TV, you know, his eyes, the iris of his eyes expanded to his eyes were totally black. And I really never did believe that. I saw it with my own eyes. And I told him that we're stopping the reading now and, you know, you need to leave. And she said there's no charge and he left. He left with his parents, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But that was kind of scary, and I can feel it and see the dark attachment to him. And that's a good example as to why to not use a Ouija board if you don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And again, I think that's real important that people understand that, and please don't buy it for your kids. Now, the other thing that I want you to talk a little bit about, because I'm going to have to cough real quick, is tell us a little bit about your book, The Spirit Garden, okay?
Sure. Basically, I wanted to tell my story from when I was as far back as I can remember until a couple of years ago about me and my life and how also going through my life besides the lessons I learned, the things that I did, but also how it related to my abilities, experiences I've had all during my life, and how I went back and forth with the abilities until I finally ended up working as a deputy sheriff in jails and having experiences with poltergeists and seeing things and getting curious about. So I bought books on ghosts, did research, and then when I kept going back, I started seeing books on psychics and mediums, started reading those, found out that I was a medium, and that's what got everything going for me. When I was 9 years old, in my book, I was with a friend in Pacifica, California, and I was playing around, and I got stuck on a cliff. I couldn't get down, and I couldn't get up. I started crying, started praying, and this and that, and I saw four beings. Now, they could be angels. I felt that they were angels, although when I see angels, I generally do not see wings. There were four of them, and they were communicating to me a message, and I was seeing them in my third eye. You can see them very clearly in color. They're all wearing full-length earthen color robes, and they appear to be standing on a balcony, and I can feel people watching behind them, but I could only see them. And they gave me instructions to climb up the cliff, and there was some channels worn in the cliff by water. I think it was sandstone. And I was afraid to do it, and I felt Archangel Michael come to me, and they told me, go ahead, we'll help you up. And I actually felt a giant hand holding my back up, and they gave me the instructions. So I put my elbows and my arm, my fist in the channels of my knees, and I really went up in a weird way, all the way up to the top of the cliff, and my friend pulled me up once I got to the top. Days later, I went down to look at the assess the situation. I said, that's impossible. I could never have done it no matter what without that type of help. And that was really the first strong vision I had during my life. I was about 9 years old.
Mm-hmm. Did it scare you?
They didn't. I've never been afraid by any spirit. The experience did, but I felt comforted as I was going up. But I've never been afraid, even by any negative, most negative spirit you can ever think of. None of them bother me at all, because I know none of them can hurt me. I'm not afraid of any of them. I guess I've always been interested in it, that I don't let them, give me any fear at all, because I know I always have that protection.
Mm-hmm. Good. Can you give out your website, your Face page, anything and everything so that people can find you?
Yes, my website is www.davidbakerspiritmedium.com. And on my homepage, if they scroll down a little bit, I have some links to my MySpace page, my Facebook, and some other little pages and websites that I'm a member of. Mm-hmm. That makes it easier. And my book is also on there. They can read my bio on my David's book page and some reviews and also my personal bio.
Okay. One of the pictures that you have on MySpace is with John Van Prague.
Yes, James Van Prague, yes.
When you met him, how did you feel about that?
Oh, it was pretty cool until he tried to take my crystal. Probably on my picture, he grabbed my crystal because I was talking to him closely. It started swinging, and he grabbed it, and he goes, oh, is this for me? He's got a great sense of humor. Mm-hmm. Really a wonderful person, a really gifted medium, too. Got a big heart.
I've heard a lot of good stuff about him. Now, also on your page, it shows you with a microphone in your hand. Are you giving a lecture, or what are you doing?
Yes. I do New Living Expo in San Francisco, and I did the Wisdom Festival one time, and I always give lectures there. My lectures were called Talking to Spirit, and I would explain to people how mediumship works and give an occasional reading.
And so how long do your lectures last?
They're 45-minute lectures.
Okay, now, do you do them any place other than that? I mean, like, if somebody wanted you to come out and do a lecture, would you do that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I just did a lecture at somebody's home in the San Francisco Bay Area in Berkeley. I had about a dozen people. Second time, I did it over there. And basically, I did a short lecture, and then I did audience readings for everybody there. And we really enjoyed it because we have candles lit, soft music, a little meditation, questions and answers, and then I do the readings. Mm-hmm. I love doing those kind of things.
You also have a website that has self-growth in it. What's that one about?
That's a self-help, excuse me, I'm trying to get over this too, self-help website. It's a really large website, and there's people on there. You can look through the website, and if you are interested in getting rich or losing weight or improving your health or looking for herbs or looking for a psychic or a medium or a healer, all those people are listed on there, and their bios are on there, and you can peruse that website to find somebody that might need to help you out or to learn something from. It's pretty much like a self-help website.
How important is meditation, David?
It's very important for people that do and do not do this work, because we're all basically energetic beings, and our suit is our body. But it starts from the core, the spirit. If you have a healthy spirit, you have a healthy body. Meditation helps calm the spirit and the body, helps you relax, helps you rejuvenate your energy, and it cuts down stress. And if a person was to meditate before they went to work each day, even if it's for 2 minutes, they would have a better day and feel better. And I know it helps me too, because I rarely get sick. When I do, it hits me hard, but about once a year. But other than that, I never get sick. But it helps you in many ways. It also helps you stay focused, too.
When people meditate, David, do they have to meditate for hours like some of them think they do?
Not necessary. They can, if they don't have time, many people are really busy. If they would just put down 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just to relax and try to clear the minds of everything, and just do a little relaxation exercise like that without any interruptions, that's good enough. And if you did for an hour or more, that's fine too.
When you're doing your readings for people, and I know that you tell them up front that it's not you that's telling them what needs to be said, has anybody ever gotten upset because of the information that you gave them?
I suppose I've been lucky, and not really. I've never gotten anything from any of my readings yet that's made anybody upset.
Okay, that's good. Because some people don't really like hearing the truth. And when you tell them the truth, sometimes they get a little, you know, like, I don't believe that. And then a couple months later, you get a call saying, I thought you were crazy, but guess what? Has that happened to you?
Yes. I first said, you want to know everything that Spirit has to say. But there's some things that, you know, I don't hold back anything in a reading if somebody's back in my reading room. But when I'm on the air, and the Spirit will say most of the time what they want to say, sometimes they block information from me. But somebody had a certain issue about them, which I felt it was none of my business to tell them on the air, that part of the reading, we could always finish it through the email, because it was private information. And generally, if something is touchy in a reading, I won't say it on the air. I'm very careful about that.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, I think is kind of important on the air. Now, you also have a way of communicating with animals that have crossed over.
I do. They just generally show up unless they ask me to see who's around them, and if I see them, they're there. One particular time, I was with a group of people at a lecture. I think it was my first lecture. I was doing it. We were doing it with angels. We were explaining about how angels work and all that, and they gave some of the people readings. I was standing on the side, and I got a very powerful vision, because I'm clairvoyant, of a dog. And this dog, generally I'm not clairaudient as much, but I do get that. Mostly I get it through telepathy and clairsentience, through feeling. This dog was barking so loud, I said, okay. It was coming from the left of me. Mm-hmm. He was barking so loud. I said, okay, I know you want to read. Wait till we're over the lecture, and I'll go approach this group of people. And this dog was just barking at me like crazy. I went and eliminated the first two ladies. The last lady was there. It wasn't her dog, though. I said, not your dog. No, my sister had a dog like that, but her sister was out of state, and I guess the dog knew that she was coming there and I'd be there. And the dog just gave me, like, telepathy through the conversations, saying, and clairvoyant pictures showing me that, first of all, saying that his name was Digger, and he dug his way out of the yard and ran across the street and got hit by a car. Mm-hmm. All that was confirmed by the lady.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dog said he belongs to, I was getting kind of like a, couldn't pronounce the name, Mary or something like that. And she said her sister was named Monica or whatever. Anyway, I got the name too. Dog told me all that. And people were wondering, well, how do you communicate with a dog or somebody that speaks Russian or whatever? When you have thoughts going from the spirit world to you, that's the international language. That language is not important. It's the information that you're thinking about. When it comes to me, I get the information too, what they're thinking about. Language doesn't mean anything when you're doing that type of communication. So you can communicate with animals that way too. And animal energy, in closing on this section, is very strong. The animals always have very strong energy when I connect with them for some reason.
There was a beep, which means that there's somebody on a line who wants to ask a question. Do you want to take a question, David?
I'd be happy to.
All right, so caller, are you there?
Well, hi, Nancy.
Can you talk a little louder because we can hardly hear you, and give us your name.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, David.
Okay.
Hello.
And your name. Can we have your name?
Hello.
Hello. Can you give us your name?
My name is Jeremy.
And do you have a question, Jeremy?
Yeah, I was wondering if I can get a reading.
Okay. What kind of reading would you like? Do you want to know about somebody who's already crossed over? Would you like to know a little bit about yourself? What kind of reading would you like?
Well, I'll actually plan a trip sometime this year, and I was wondering if you guys have anything on that.
Okay, David, could you hear him okay?
Yes, I'm planning on a trip. Now, is this going to be across water, this trip?
Yes, it is.
Yes. And is it going to be a cruise, or are you flying somewhere?
Well, actually, I was planning to go back home to the Philippines.
Okay, because I keep seeing water. That's why I wanted to know, something in the water. So it must be the Philippines surrounded by water. Is that correct? And you wanted to know, should you or are you going to go on this trip?
Yeah.
Which was it? Both?
Plane.
No. Do you want to know if you're going to go on the trip, or do you want to know if you should go on the trip?
Or if I actually should this year.
I'm seeing that trips would be a good thing for you, but I feel that it's not necessary to always do that. I feel that I can feel that you're not feeling that it's necessary, and that if you didn't go, it wouldn't matter that much, that it would be better if you went at another time, and
Okay. Things
would be much better. I don't feel that it's totally necessary that you go this particular year, that nothing major would change in a bad way if you did not go. And I'm feeling that perhaps you need a break from this for some reason. Am I ringing any bells?
Yeah, I could barely hear you.
Yeah, what David said is that even if you did not go on the trip, that it would really be okay, and that there's a part of you that's not sure if you actually should take this trip. And then David asked if that was true.
Oh, yes, it is.
Is taking the trip going to hurt you as far as financial goes?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually the problem there. I'm actually having a hard time, getting up to finances to make the trip.
Because that's what I'm coming up with, too, is that for right now, agreeing with David, then unless it's kind of really necessary, you might be better off to postpone it a little bit.
Okay.
Do you have a wife or girlfriend?
No, I don't.
There is a lady that hurt you really bad. Is that true?
Yeah, probably like over 20 years ago.
I'm not so sure you totally got over that, though, is the problem. So you really have to let go of a lot of past things that you're holding on to, okay?
Okay.
All right, so did we answer your question for you?
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
All right, have a nice day.
You thank too. You. Bye now. David, when you're focusing in on somebody like that as quickly as you do, like I use the cards to help me focus because I get like 50 words a second that comes through my head.
Yes.
So I use the cards as a quick focus, and they basically tell me a whole story. So when you're doing it, can you explain how that works for you?
Yes. Well, I've tried many methods and many tools, and I've even used cards for a couple of years. And let me tell people that the cards are totally accurate. They're really great. They really helped me learn to focus. But I found, for me personally now, it doesn't mean that I'm better than anybody. It's just that I'm different, and when I had a lot of reading to do, I had to just stop using the cards. One day I had, for a couple of days in a row after my book release, 5 hours of reading straight, 2 days in a row with no break. So I just stopped using the cards, and I never went back to the cards from there. And what happens is, when I'm talking to somebody on the phone, for example, or in person, doesn't matter, I start talking to them, and a split second later, I start getting all kinds of stuff. So I need to ask this person what they need to know so I can sort it out and focus in on that particular thing. But it happens like instantaneously for me, and the information comes, and I just speak what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm. Just kidding. Now, when it comes to auras, do you read or do you see auras and then read them? Is that how it works for you?
No, I really don't bother with that. It's just there's too many areas in metaphysics that a person could get into, and even though I've studied pretty much all the way around, I just try to focus in on some things, and I figure that if a person really wants to know what the color of their aura is at the present time, I could focus in on it, but instead of trying to read what the aura is telling them, like if I see like some red and they're well protected, and some orange, they're grounded, and blue, they're spiritually connected. Instead of telling them all that stuff, I'll ask them what do they want to know, and then I'll just tell them that instead, if that makes any sense.
No,
it kind of works both ways, actually. You know, you could do either or and still get the same information.
Because, like, I see auras, but it's not like I really need to see them in order to do what I do either. Now, you made a statement on one of your pages, your quick facts. It says that all mediums are psychics, and then it says, yet not all psychics are medium. Can you explain that a little bit to the listeners?
Sure. Either, well, first of all, a medium uses psychic abilities as tools, and one of them is clairvoyance, and that means in my mind's eye, I can see a picture of loved one that I'm speaking to. And let's say clairaudience, for example, that's a simple one. I can hear them speaking in my psychic ear where the person next to me that does not have this ability cannot hear a thing, but I can. So those are a couple of psychic tools. As far as being a medium and making actual contact with spirit, all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums. In other words, not all psychics have the ability to do that. Everybody's different, so I believe I was born with the software to make that connection. I trained to learn certain protocols for readings and to understand my abilities, but I didn't train to get my abilities. I already had the abilities. Either you're a medium or you're not, and that's it. But you can bring out some of those attributes and actually find ways of making contact with spirit. But being a medium is just something that I've always had. I'm guessing that it's extra software that I was given so I could make the connection to the spirit world and communication and so forth. And people do it. There's different people that have different abilities. Like some people, they call it ghost whisper, like the famous medium that did tours on the Queen Mary and was on TV, sightings, you know, Peter James. He saw and spoke with ghosts. James Van Praagh sees and speaks with crossed over spirits, not ghosts. I can pretty much talk to all of them, but my specialty more is crossed over spirits, so I can communicate with them better than I can with ghosts. So everybody's different. But if you're not born a medium, generally you're not going to be able to have that type of communication for some reason.
Okay, so it's not something that they can actually learn?
They can learn to a certain degree, just like I could learn to sing, although I may not be able to become the American Idol, but I can still learn to sing to a certain degree. And everybody can learn to tap into mediumship, yes, successfully. Maybe not the way I do it, but it can be taught successfully, yes.
Give out all your information again so that people can look you up and find you.
On the web, it's www.davidbakerspiritmedium.com. And I have contact information on my homepage down, my email, thespiritgarden@comcast.net. I don't have a phone number there, but I do answer all my emails. And pretty much almost anything people want to find out about me is on my homepage of davidbakerspiritmedium.com.
Okay. Also, you have a bunch of words that you have, clairvoyance, claircognizance, and clairaudience, and clairsentinel. Can you kind of tell the listeners a little bit about each one of those so they understand them a little bit better?
Excuse me, sure.
Bless you, by the way.
Thank you. We're taking turns clearing our throats.
Uh-huh.
And I want to apologize to everybody for that. Clairvoyance is the ability to see in your mind's eye, called the third eye, a psychic picture or vision of a spirit, an object, a symbol, or whatever the medium is connecting with during a reading. Clairvoyance is the more rare of the clairs, I believe, in psychics and mediums. Clairaudience, this is the use of one's psychic ear. Sounds that are heard that are not physically detectable. Clairaudience means clear hearing, and in a reading, the psychic or medium can detect or hear psychically voices, music, or other sounds that no one else present can hear. Then you have claircognizance, which I use a lot, which is clear knowing. This is when the psychic or medium receives a download of information about a situation or from spirit that is received instantaneously. It's kind of like a telepathic transfer of information in my head. Clairsentience, a lot of people use, this means clear feeling. A medium can sense when spirits or ghosts are present and knows their feelings and personalities. Then we have a couple that are more common that I think more people have experienced, and they could have experienced it from crossed over loved ones that have come to visit them, whether they have this ability or not, or in a haunted house or somewhere. It's called either clairaliance or clairgustance. There's two. It's called by two different names for some reason. This is the ability to pick up smells from the psychic nose that are otherwise undetectable by the physical nose. Sometimes ghosts or spirits will create a smell such as tobacco smoke, perfume, flowers, baked bread, and other smells that pertains to the reading that might be used as a tool for validation, or that a crossed-over relative might use to let them know that they are present and that they are nearby when they're thinking about them. And the last one is called clairambience. This is psychic taste. In a reading, a psychic or medium may get a taste of baked bread, candy, or something that pertains to the reading that might be used as a tool for validation.
That's great. Do you do remote viewing, David?
I don't go out of my way to do it, but I've done it before successfully. But I just, you know, don't bother with doing that either. But yes, I have done remote viewing.
Yeah, because most of the things that you just described happens during a remote view session. So I was kind of curious to, you know, see if you did that. Now, again, give out your website and how people can get a hold of you.
It's www.davidbakerspiritmedium.com. And talk about remote viewing, I did for a friend at work, and I found his missing items. It's a funny story.
Would you like to tell us?
He was asking me at work. He bought this walnut orchard, about 4 acres. It's over 100 years old. And the minute we went up there to visit it before it closed, I told him that he has a whole bunch of ghosts on this property. And they were a little skeptical about it. I described them and gave them names and what was going on. When they got the house and went there, and I told them again about the ghost, and they were telling me about the experiences, that they had later, which correlated with the same information that I had already given them. Then later, and sometime later at work, he said, "Oh, and my watches is missing." And I told him that the main ghost, the male that's watching over the property, took it and put it in a box in the garage against the north wall. 6 months later, he said, "Another watch is missing." I asked him, "Well, did he ever get the other watch?" And he said, "No." I told him, "I could see it also with that watch in the same box, but now the watches are in the box, but the box is no longer in the garage. I see it in a dark area on the high shelf." And I told him to see if he can remember, you know, about that. Well, the very next night at work, comes in, he shows me two watches. And I said, "Where'd you get the watches?" And he said, "They were in that box that was in the garage, but when I moved it out of the garage just recently and put it in a closet on the top shelf and closed the door, thus being a dark place, I never looked in it. So I looked in it, I pulled it out, looked at it, and there they were."
Isn't it kind of funny how some things work so easily and so well, and then you have to kind of wonder, am I really getting all of that?
It's amazing, but I've gotten used to it. The main thing is to learn to trust. The best psychics and mediums and readers and so forth are the ones that trust the very first thought and feeling, and that's the way to go for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a part on one of the sites that I've gone to here, and it says that you're still kind of wondering if there's something wrong with you.
Oh, no, I'm not sure. No, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. I'm fine with all that.
A lot of people, when they first start having their psychic ability develop, do think that something's wrong with them, though. Is that true, that you found?
Yes, because you don't understand it. And the reason why is, I don't know, during my time, even though there was, you know, Edgar Cayce and other great people, they were generally confined to certain areas. And, you know, the only information you got was from the radio or a newspaper or something. Now it's all over the place. But back then, there was not much information out. And people came back from World War II and everything. And there was people exposing mediums as frauds and so forth. Because there was a lot of bad, and there was just not enough information out there. Even though mediumship has been proved, for example, for hundreds of years over and over again, there's lots of documentation on it. Not everybody knew that. And people, and the way society was, you know, you don't believe in life after death. Too many people were tied to religion where they teach you that there's life after death, but they won't let you prove it, if you know what I mean. And religion teaches you that unless you're somebody special, you can't possibly do this, even though, you know, the Bible does say you can. And so it took pioneers like Sylvia Brown, James Van Praagh, John Edward, you know, to be brave enough to come out and prove it to people, get on TV, and announce all becoming mainstream. But people back then said, "You're nuts," because nobody had the information. They didn't know. So we thought we were nuts.
But people are starting to wake up, and they are starting to know that there's a lot more to just what their naked eye is seeing, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, all it takes is research. I get skeptics, and I said, "Well, you don't believe in it, why not?" I said, "Did you do any research on it?" And the answer is always, "No." And I say, "Well, before you judge me or judge that, open your mind and do some research. And if you still don't believe it, fine, I respect that totally. But before you say anything about it, at least do some research on it." I wouldn't tell somebody it's impossible to make a nuclear bomb if I didn't do the research to see, or if it wasn't proven to me. See what I mean? I wouldn't judge it just because I hadn't experienced it. I would do some research and judge for myself.
Mm-hmm. As the deputy sheriff, have you ever gone and had some of the spirits of some of the people that have been murdered or, you know, a lot of bad things going on? Have they ever come to you?
Not really, because during that work, I didn't want to focus on any of that. I wanted to stay focused on what I had to do. So I've always blocked all that. And when people ask me if I'm interested, and I've had psychics from around the country ask me, you know, about certain cases, and I just tell them I don't want to work on it because, you know, I've dealt with all that, and it's just too much. I prefer not to deal with that type of stuff. However, somebody has come to me in a reading, and in a reading, her brother got killed by a gang member, and I told her how and who and where and all this information. Another person, her boyfriend, was a helicopter pilot in the military, and he was assassinated, and I gave her information, but she wanted more details, and the pilot crossed his hands, like in a sign from that he doesn't want to tell the rest of the information. He said it wasn't important, he wanted her to move on.
Mm-hmm.
But those particular ways I've gotten information, and I've had spirits and ghosts come to me on the job in the jail there too. Short communication with them, but I really didn't want to deal with something that I couldn't do anything about unless they wanted to be crossed over.
I would think, well, what happens with me is I don't really have, well, I have a choice, but I don't take the choice. A lot of people, I used to help the police, but I don't help them anymore. Not because I don't want to, it's because the way I do it is I have to relive everything that that person that they're asking me about went through.
I know, that's why I don't want to do it either.
Which is very hard, and, you know, and, I mean, I come out all right, but then usually the police department, you know, they don't treat you very nicely after that. And so it's like, well, you know, don't come and ask me anymore because, and I'm not expecting gold medal by any means, but at the same time, a thank you would be good. You know, so I don't help them, but it happens. You know, like, for example, I only saw JonBenet's picture twice. First time I saw it, I just come home from, like, working all day long, doing readings, and I was, like, wide open. And I walk in, and I say, as I see her picture, that little girl is going to die, and she's going to die soon. The next time I saw her picture was a week later, and she had been murdered. You know, now, do I like to do things like that? No, I don't. They just sometimes happen like that.
That's why some people focus their abilities on crime solving.
Mm-hmm.
Some do it on medical issues or medical intuitive, you know, whatever you choose to specialize in. And I choose not to do that. I can't do everything all the time. I run out of time and wear myself out. And I don't like the negative and pain, the negativeness and pains and feelings that I get from what I see from doing solving crimes. So I just stick to medium readings, you know, for crossover loved ones.
Which is probably pretty good for you, seeing how you are the deputy sheriff. You know, it's got to be hard.
I need to get away from that.
And pretty soon you are, right? You're going to retire soon?
Yes.
Okay, I bet you're looking forward to that.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Good. David, can you give out your website, the name of your book, and how they can get your book one more time, please?
Okay, my website is www.davidbakerspiritmedium.com. That's www.davidbakerspiritmedium.com. My book is called The Spirit Garden, A Medium's Journey by David Baker from First World Publishing, and it's available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers all over the world. It can be accessed from my website for those who just want to look at my website and look for the book. And there's links on there, and they can go right to Amazon. They can also read my reviews. And it's, I offer it in soft cover and hard cover both. Eventually, I have an e-book. Eventually, I will have it available in e-book. And any other information pertaining to me they want to find out, contact, it's all on my website.
David, it's been great having you on. I'm sure you'll get some calls from people because everybody likes to know about loved ones who've crossed over. A lot of them are hurting from, you know, the death of somebody. So a lot of times people want to know, you know, about them, if for no other reason to be able to let go and to finally be happy knowing that they're in a much better place. Do you find that to be true?
Yes, I find that to be true. Even though they see it on TV or hear it, they want to know for themselves. They want that validation right there, because when it finally happens to them, then everything's different. They just got to know. So I love doing that. I put my heart into it. I do my best to get them the information that they need, so that even though they may not get over it, at least it can give them a little bit of closure and help them move on with their lives a little bit more.
Great, David. Our time is actually up. It's been great having you on the show. Thank you for taking the time for being on the show.
Thank you, Nancy. I love being here.
Great. You're very welcome. I'd like to thank you, all the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you later. Take care. Bye now.